Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. You're listening to What to Read Next podcast, episode 38. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the show, guys. So happy to have you back. Today, we have a book recommendation show for you. I invite a former bookseller and fellow podcaster from the History's Gate podcast, Lee Fiverr. In this podcast, we chat all things books, fandom, and comic books. Now let's get to the show. Hi, Lee. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here to tell us who you are.
So my name is Lee, and I'm one of the two co-hosts for another podcast called History is Gay podcast. And then in my day job, I work in a museum. And I also used to be a bookseller, which is how I contacted Laura. We talked a little bit about the fact that I used to work for Borders back when Borders was still around, RIP. And and then once Borders closed, my coworkers and I, who were working in our small little Borders Express, decided that we couldn't let it go. We all wanted to stay in the bookselling world, and so we actually opened up our own independent bookstore. So I got the experience of being able to be both a corporate and an indie bookseller, and I miss it. I miss slinging books and giving book recommendations to people. So I'm excited to do that here with you.
I love it. Yeah, I think my ideal world, it's between my ideal career would be a bookseller, like an indie bookseller, or be a librarian.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah, I've thought about going back to school for a, you know, library science degree for many, many years. Maybe one day I'll get it together.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the next of career.
So. There's some great online programs though, which is nice. So you can kinda, you know, do it while you're working other things.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see. You have a podcast you mentioned, History's Gay podcast. What inspired you to start this podcast? And what is this podcast all about?
So History's Gay podcast is about queering history and looking at things from a global perspective about how, you know, we hear these narratives of people in history classes, in science classes, in literature classes for our entire lives, and there's so much information left out about how queer history has been. Some of your favorite authors and scientists and luminaries from history have had experiences and you know, certain cultures in history have had elements of queerness to them, whether people's personal lives or entire cultures based around same gender love or sexual relations or expansive understandings of gender. And I had been wanting to put something like that together for quite some time, and I had been thinking about also doing queer media analysis podcast. And then I went to a convention called TGI FemSlash, which is all about fan fiction and like queer women characters in fandom, which is also where I do a lot of my reading. I'm heavy in the fandom circles online, and I met someone else, Gretchen, who is my co-host, who had been thinking the same thing for many years. And we both kind of looked at each other and were like, well, I'd do it. If you're joking about it, I'm joking about it. But if you're serious about it, I would do that with you. And it was kind of a, you know, it was kind of a half-baked idea. And then it formed into something that we really wanted to do. And we're both, you know, we call ourselves Gaven Claws. we just have a natural penchant for wanting to dive into subjects and read voraciously. And so it gives us this opportunity to research and get really excited by something and share it, which I think you know, gives me a lot of the kind of feelings that I used to get as a bookseller is, ooh, look at all this cool information and these recommendations that I want to give to you.
Yeah, I love it. I took a listen to your podcast this morning and I completely loved it. I was like, oh, I need to binge on this for the rest of the day.
Thank you.
Which is perfect. There's kind of like a right mix of history and a right mix of information. And just there's a storytelling to it. So thank you.
Thank you.
So talking about fandoms and fanfiction, I haven't dived into this world. I think I dive into one book that needed fanfiction. Where do I start if someone's like thinking about, you know, I read this book and I loved it. I read Harry Potter and I want more Harry Potter. You know, I think that's when I think of fandom, but there are other fandoms out there. Where can you start?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's funny because I've been in the fandom world for so long. It depends on, I think, when you go into it. Nowadays, you know, there's a lot of things on Tumblr and Twitter. But I think the most important thing is just being able to engage in a piece of media, whether it's a book, whether it's a comic, whether it's a TV show, and outwardly show excitement about it. I think part of fandom and about part of being a reader is unironically loving things. You know, it's part of being a nerd, right? It's showing how excited you are to talk about and to share a thing. I think sharing is a really important thing. There's a very big difference between gatekeeping and sharing your love for something. I think that something has far more value if you can say, hey, I really loved this thing and you're going to really love it too. Come read this, come watch, you know, go watch that. And tell me what you think about it instead of a, you know, oh, well, I experienced this thing first and somebody's, you know, nobody else can have it except for me. So I think if you, you know, if you have social media and you do things like, you know, tweet at creators just about how enthused you are about things, other people will see it. And just, you know, go online and search for message boards that are around for your favorite media. Go on Tumblr or Twitter or even Facebook groups for and just search in like the tags for the thing that you're interested in, and chances are people will be making content around that expands the world. And I think that's the important thing about fandom, is that it can be expansive and it's often transformative work. So even works that you really enjoy, a lot of the world building, the characters, but you're still looking for things. For example, you know, one of the reasons that really brought me to fandom was looking for more information and more world building for these books that I loved, but also looking for things like queerness, things that aren't directly in a text, but that you can kind of tease out, and people take these and they transform them and they make them, they sort of bring them into the hands of like, this is now the property of the reader and what we make of it.
I love your definition of fandom, that it's just basically connecting with others. There's a level of connection and excitement.
Yeah, there can be some really toxic elements to it, but there can also be really, really amazing connections. I mean, I've been able to find a really fantastic friend and partner in doing a creative endeavor. And, you know, I've also found over the years just people that have really become my family, which is really fantastic, especially in queer circles. I think there's a large intersection of people who are looking for queer content and find it in fandom, because a lot of things about being queer are looking between the lines. So I think that kind of community really gels together around devouring content and making it our own. And what's really beautiful about right now too is that we're getting more and more content that is becoming more overtly queer too, which is really neat. You know, I didn't have a lot of resources growing up being able to read books with gay or, you know, trans or queer characters. And that's changing, which is really exciting.
Yeah, so it's definitely changing the landscape. You know, I read quite a few queer books, actually, in the past couple of years. That's what I noticed in comparison to what it was 5 or 10 years ago, where there wasn't a lot.
Yeah, I think the most informative one for me, like growing up, was, you know, I remember like Perks of Being a Wallflower, and that was kind of like the closest that I got. But I held really, really tightly onto that book, I think I also remember, the first character in a book that I ever cried over. And it was also perpetuation of the dead lesbian syndrome, which if you know, like, you know, Bury Your Gaze, which is a TV trope about queer women characters being killed off in especially television, but also film and books at a far higher rate than kind of any other demographic on TV. Mm-hmm. But I remember specifically in the Terry Goodkind Sword of Truth book series. I remember having such a visceral reaction to the death of a character. I have a lot of intense feelings about character deaths. Many people have seen me like cry on a train while reading a book.
I feel your pain. Yeah, I was just talking about a friend about a book that I just read where they kill off the character at the end, and I totally hated the book because of that reason. I hated the character death of how it happened, but it was just there's an intensity that happens when you're invested in their character's life. You're like, why are you killing them?
You know? You lose a friend.
Yeah, you do lose a friend. It's like, what is going on, people?
Yeah.
So as I went to your book's recommendation, so what is your favorite genre?
I really tend to skew a little bit more towards like actual genre fiction, science fiction, fantasy. And within that, I tend to do a lot of young adult. I think that there's something really nuanced about writing about very grown-up things in an accessible language. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, tries to reach out to folks who are just starting to figure themselves out. In the last couple of years, I've had a little bit of trouble finding some YA content that I really enjoy that doesn't feel derivative. Mm-hmm. So if anybody has any, you know, recommendations for me, there's some really great stuff about that genre that I'm missing. And in the last few years, I've really been heavily branching more out into comics, which is a lot of what my reading is too. I think there's something really beautiful about the marriage of such a you know, words and the visual medium.
That's awesome. And what kind of comics do you read?
I read a lot of creator-owned comics, so a lot of things from Image or Dark Horse or oh gosh, now I'm forgetting publishers. IDW, Boom Comics. And what I really love about comics is that it's been much easier to find really wonderfully intersectional feminist and queer content in comics. Some of my favorites recently have been like Zodiac Star Force is a really delightful thing. If you were ever a fan of like Sailor Moon or Buffy, this really cool like badass magical girl genre, but it also really wonderfully weaves in like trauma recovery and working together as a team, and it's really beautifully done, and the art is fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. It's gonna be in the show notes. So what's your top three favorite books of all time?
Oh gosh, I saw this question and I was like, oh, I'm going to struggle with this because I feel like it changes all the time. But
it's okay. Can you read the recent books?
Yeah. Well, I think like one that's kind of all time for me is The Phantom Tollbooth by Norton Juster. I credit that book with being the thing that made me get an intense love and appreciation for learning. I think reading that book at such a young age instilled in me just a really wonderful curiosity. And I highly recommend just anybody of any age go and read that book because it's such a delight. And I was a big fan of Roald Dahl growing up too. And the illustrations by Jules Pfeiffer really echoed a lot of that. I mean, I have, you know, I refuse to get rid of my old copy, which is, you know, taped together like 18 times that I love. I frequently will come back to, if somebody is asking me for a really good read, I will frequently reference The Sparrow by Mary Doria Russell.
Okay.
Which is, it's a tough book. It's a tough book to read. You will cry a lot. But it's really, really wonderfully done. And it's one that it actually starts out in the first couple of pages of the book telling you that everyone is, except for this one character, has died. And you would think that it wouldn't punch you in the gut, you know, starting out like that, but it does. And it introduces these amazing characters that you get so attached to, and really wonderful world building. And it pulls the rug out from underneath you, but in the best and most beautifully done ways. It's science fiction, but it's more like, it's kind of speculative fiction.
Okay.
It follows this group of researchers who partner with Jesuits and go on a mission to another planet where they discovered, they made their first content, and they, you know, heard all of these radio signals of essentially music, and they meet these aliens, and it's science fiction, but doesn't feel like science fiction. It's more of a character piece.
Okay.
Yeah, there is some, you know, tough content in there. I will give a you know, trigger warning, for some difficult discussion of sexual abuse, but if you can, you know, it's near the end of the book, and it's not a large chunk of it, okay. But I think it's really fantastic as a book overall.
Awesome.
Yeah. Let's see. You asked for three, huh?
Yeah, I did.
Age of Miracles is another one that I really love. Have you read that one?
No, I have not. What is it about?
This is one that I actually, that was a total surprise to me. It came across my attention when I was a bookseller, and I got an advanced reader copy of it. And it's a fiction book that is this amazing coming of age story. This little girl who is going through regular kind of growing pains, you know, getting her, realizing that she needs her first bra, watching her parents go through, you know, troubles in their marriage, and possibly getting a divorce. And while all of this, you know, her first crush, and while all of these things are going on, the rotation of the earth has very gradually begun to slow.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this really amazing treatise on, like, life goes on, things are happening, and behind it all, in the background, the world is, like, slowly changing, and things are slowly altering in a way that is irrevocable, and society is changing to try to figure out how to deal with that. But it's so myopically focused on, like, the humanity of it, and, like, how life happens. The thing that I love about fiction, and the thing that will draw me into a fiction book more than anything else, is, do I love the characters?
Yeah.
If I don't love the characters, or if it's a villain, you know, that if I don't vehemently hate the character, mm-hmm. which is a sort of love, you know, you're appreciative of the character work. I'm just generally, I find myself not being able to get into it.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing. It's like finding the characters you connect. And mm-hmm. if you can't connect, then you probably, the book is not going to feel the same.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Who are your go-to authors?
Oh, gosh. I mean, in terms of comics these days, I'll pretty much read anything by Ryan North, which is really fantastic. He does Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. And he actually created an anthology called This Is How You Die, which is really fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I also, I'm trying to remember. I mean, continued comics stuff. Gail Simone is really fantastic. And Kate Leth, I will buy anything from. Mm-hmm. In terms of actual fiction books, lately I've been having trouble. I've been bouncing around. I've really enjoyed a lot of stuff from Marie Lu, who wrote The Legend series, which is really fantastic. So, you know, I've been meaning to get into her next few ones.
Yeah, did you read Warcross?
I didn't, no.
It's so good. I haven't read the Legend series, but I read Warcross, and it's really good.
You should read Legend. It's really well done. I really enjoyed it, and it was hard for me to find stuff that I really enjoyed after reading Hunger Games that didn't just feel like a clone.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, you know what? I really, really love... I really loved The Raven Cycle.
Okay.
By...
Maggie Stiefvater?
By Maggie Stiefvater. I really enjoyed that, and I've got a couple of other things at home that I've been meaning to pick up. But I you know, her new book came out, and like I immediately went and got it. You know what? You know who I would really love to pick up anything else that she does is a woman named Caitlin Doughty, who's a mortician. Ooh. And she does a lot of work around kind of reconfiguring how we as a Western society think about death and trying to reform the funeral industry. And she's written a couple of books. One was a memoir, and one she just recently released in October, I think, where she went around the world to different places and talked about different death cultures. And it's, her writing is accessible and funny and morbid and fascinating.
That's awesome. I'm definitely going to check it out. This seems like an interesting author.
Yeah, she's really great. And it's all nonfiction. She also does a really great YouTube series called Ask a Mortician.
Ooh, I'm going to check that out tonight.
Yeah.
So, favorite books or comic books you read in 2018? So far,
you know, I just recently read pretty much cover to cover an art book by Jennifer Shaw, and I read it for my podcast called Exist Otherwise: The Life and Works of Claude Cahun, which is a biography of the works and the life of this this surrealist and symbolist artist and photographer in France, working in the 20s through the 1940s. And Claude Cahun actually ended up being a really, really amazing anti-fascist fighter and did a bunch of propaganda with their lover, basically destroying Nazi objectives and plagued like Nazis for like 4 years before getting arrested. And it's a really well done, beautiful coffee table book that goes into their life, as well as each section has like very detailed breakdown of their art in certain periods. And I couldn't get enough of it. I really enjoyed it.
And you did a podcast about it.
Yeah, we did a podcast. That was like the number one resource that we used. And funny enough, she lives in the area around me. And she reached out to us because she had like a Google alert for Claude Cahun and found our show and emailed and said, "Hey, I'd love to, you know, chat. And here's some questions that I have for you. And here's some answers that I have for you about some of the questions you asked in the show." And it was really, really great.
That's amazing. That's such a small world.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I guess on a totally different bent, I've been really going back into reading the Animorphs series that I loved as a child.
Okay. What's the series about?
It is a science fiction series that was around when I was a kid, and they're just now like starting to republish them. Okay. But it's about a group of kids. It's like you know, middle reader, like, you know, not quite I guess nowadays it would be considered YA.
Okay.
But it's about this group of kids who one day, it's a science fiction book, one day they're like walking home from school in through like an abandoned lot, and they see a spaceship that has fallen, and this alien is dying, and he tells them that the Earth is being invaded by parasite aliens, and you never know who is one of them, and he gives them this power to morph into different creatures, and they basically become intergalactic spies and agents in a war. It's like it's a book about child warfare, but also space and growing up. And it's, I remember just, I read every single one of them when I was a kid, and going back to them as an adult, I'm like, wow, this is a heavy series. It deals with trauma. It deals with relationships. It deals with child warfare, child soldiers in a war. It deals with even, it has analogies for like white savior complexes. Mm-hmm. It like huge questions about morality and whether or not it, you know, there's gray morality or black and white morality. For a children's book, it's really hard sometimes to see things that break things down into further than just like good and evil. And I think it's really fascinating. It's been really fascinating to go back and read them. And you know, you can devour two of those books in a day.
That's awesome. I'm gonna check it out. This seems like an interesting read.
Yeah, it's been really neat to read them. And it's got a cool mechanic in that there's like six main characters, and they rotate which character narrates the books they go through. Oh. So like each one will be narrated by a different character, and then it'll rotate back to the beginning of that over this. And I think there's like 50 something books in the series.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So what's the most anticipated new release for 2018?
You know, I was looking at some stuff, and there's a really, really cool book that I'm excited that's coming out later this year. Coming out in August. It's mm-hmm. called Toil and Trouble, and it's an anthology of stories. And I think there's like 15. Yeah, it's about women and witchcraft. And I'm pretty excited about that. And it's supposed to have like, you know, a fair amount of queer stories in it too. I enjoy any witchy stuff, which is really fun.
Yeah, it's one of my anticipated releases too. I'm looking forward to the witches and just the diversity of it. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's been the most disappointed read?
You know, I was really excited to read Casual Vacancy when it was coming out, and I didn't have expectations that it would be like another Harry Potter. I remember being a bookseller at the time and getting really frustrated with people who were like, oh, but you know, I just want it to be Harry Potter. I had a really open mind about it. Mm-hmm. And I started reading it, and you know, I just couldn't get into the characters. They just seemed too boring with a boring life. And it wasn't even that I was looking for genre fiction. I just wanted to be enthralled with the characters and be interested enough to get to know their life and their struggles and their conflicts. And I got a fair amount through the book because I really wanted to give it a fair chance, and I couldn't get through it. And you know, I think that it's a good book, but it was personally disappointing for me because I wanted to prove wrong the folks who were like, oh well, this isn't going to be a good book because it's not Harry Potter. It was, but I just, you know, I had to concede that it was just not for me.
Yes, I understand. I haven't read that book, actually. I think I'm sticking to Harry Potter. I'm sticking to what I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to branch out. I wanted to give it a fair, you know, a fair shake. But sometimes, you know, sometimes you just don't hit on it. I also never want to read The Pearl by Hemingway ever again. I was made to read that book too many times in like elementary school, and I hated it the first time, and I hated it the second time, and I abhorred it the third time I had to read it, and never want to read it again.
I hear you. Life is too short. So what book should my listeners pick up right now and add to their TBR? It can be a book, it can be a comic book, it can be anything, but something to add into their TBR.
So I'd say, I mean, it's a tough read, but incredibly relevant right now, is Handmaid's Tale. I think that's a really important book that people should be reading right now. But if you just want a really fun read, if you are a fan of like Douglas Adams and you really like irreverent humor, one book that I really loved was The Gates. Mm-hmm. Which was very silly. It's by John Connolly, who he has a really wonderful and beautifully unfolding book called The Book of Lost Things, which is sad and poignant and wonderful. But he also has this book called The Gates, which is a fun romp with demons. If you were ever a fan of like Good Omens by Neil Gaiman and Terry Pratchett, you'll enjoy The Gates, which and I hear that it actually has more books after it. It actually became a series. But I recently was just thinking about that book, and I remember like just consistently chuckling out loud to myself.
That's perfect. I love a good book that you can laugh about.
Yeah, if you need like a palate cleanser from, you know, the things that were like, okay, I need to be reading this right now because everything in the world is terrible. Then you can, you know, then you can read about fun demons and not the demons that are destroying everything around us.
Yes, indeed. Tell us where we can find you online.
So I personally am on Twitter at a paradox in flux. And for History is Gay, you can find us. We have a website, historyisgaypodcast.com. And we're on Twitter as History is Gay Pod, Tumblr as History is Gay Podcast. And we have a Facebook too. If you just search for History is Gay, you can find that there too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun. I don't get to talk about books as much as I used to, which was every single day. So it's always exciting. I get to do a little bit of it right now working where I work because we have a store with books in it, but we don't really carry a lot of fiction. So it's nice to get back into that world.
I love it. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee, for great book recommendations. I can't wait to dig into them. For show notes and other books mentioned in this podcast, please visit whattoreadnextblogspot.com. Again, whattoreadnextblog.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider reviewing on iTunes. This is the best way for this podcast to get discovered by new audiences. And as a thank you for sending a review on iTunes, I'm going to give away a $20 gift card to Amazon. All you have to do is write a review, and just write a rating and a review and leave your Instagram handle or Twitter handle in it so I can reach out to you if you win the giveaway. I'm going to be running these giveaways every month, so just make sure to leave your review on iTunes, and that's the way you're eligible for the giveaway. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a fantastic day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.